Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I've found my lost sheep." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So first, I'm thinking it would be helpful for me to, some of you know why I'm here, some of you know who I am, but let me give you a little context. I am Pastor Carla Thompson Powell, and I serve as the associate to the bishop. My title is long, and the organization is long. The associate to the bishop and director for evangelical mission in the Metropolitan Chicago Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And now we can take a breath after all of those parts of my title. And I am actually here on behalf of a couple of my coworkers, co-workers of the gospel, Bishop Yahel Curry and Pastor Sunitha Mortha, who could not be here today on behalf of the Synod, but I'm here sort of representing the wider church and our connection and our community together. And what a joy it is to be here, especially because I'm the director for evangelical mission. It means that places where congregations engage with their community, places where new things are happening, these are all the things that land on my portfolio very often, and they bring me so much Holy Spirit joy to be able to be a part of them. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. I'm grateful for all of your work that has brought you to this day and will bring you into the months, years, decades ahead for this congregation, for this particular ministry at this time. Grace be to you and peace from the one who was and is to come. Amen. When my family moved to Northbrook, Illinois, one of the northern suburbs here, in 1980, I was in sixth grade. My parents had shown me around the neighborhood and they said, you know, within this neighborhood, you're probably okay to ride your bike and go walking around, do whatever, go play at the playground, whatever you're gonna do. So I was allowed to ride my bike to Westmore Elementary School. That was almost a mile away from home. And that's where I went to school. One Saturday, I decided to go to the school playground because I thought, I'm going to find out who's over there playing on the playground because I want to play with some of the other kids that are in my classes. So I rode my bike over there, and something happened as I headed home, and I took a different turn, and suddenly nothing looked familiar. And I was in a strange place. And I was looking around and I was getting more and more worried. I tried to backtrack, but nothing looked familiar, even when I tried to backtrack. Thankfully, this was one of those times where I was, in fact, safe. It wasn't actually dangerous for me, but I was scared. I was crying. I was panicked. I thought I was lost forever. I don't know how I, as a sixth grader, believed that I was really lost forever, but I thought for sure I was just lost forever. And so I knocked on the door of a house that I thought looked like it might have kids there, like that I might, maybe there's somebody and a parent, and maybe they're going to be patient with me and not freak out that I'm bawling on their porch. But I came up and somehow these very reassuring people, the reassuring adults that answered the door, called my parents. They were able to figure out how to get in touch with them. And my parents came to pick me up from this total perfect stranger's house. The lost, in this case, the lost daughter, was found. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells two stories, one about a lost sheep and one about a lost coin. Vicar Sarah also shared about a lost duck in her children's message, if you were paying attention to that. In these stories of lost things, there may be a lot of them, but one goes missing. One out of 10 silver coins. One out of 100 sheep. One out of a handful of ducks. These lost things matter to the people who are responsible for them. That shepherd is going to be distraught and distressed about that one sheep until he finds it. The woman was distraught and distressed about that one lost coin. She turned over everything in her house to try to find it, swept under everything until she was able to find it. Lost things matter to the one who's responsible for it. In fact, I want to stop there and make a theological point about this. Where it appears in the Gospel of Luke and the story, and even what I read today at the very beginning of Luke 15, starting at verse 1, it says that the tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear Jesus' message. As many of you probably know, the tax collectors and sinners were the outcast. They were the undesirable by the religious authorities and the religious establishment. And in fact, then when it talks about the Pharisees and the scribes who were grumbling, the Pharisees and the scribes would be seen more as the religious establishment. Those Pharisees and scribes said, this guy, he welcomes sinners and he eats with them. He has a meal with them. He doesn't just say, okay, fine, you can come in. He eats with them. Now, in Jesus' day, to eat with someone who was religiously excluded was an exceptionally bad move. The religious leader knew the rules. The religious leaders knew the rules, quote unquote rules. Welcoming tax collectors and sinners, this is not what we do. It was against the rules. And immediately at that point, Jesus tells this story about lost things. I hope you're getting the connection here. Jesus told this series of stories, in fact, about lost things. One lost sheep out of 100. He starts to paint a word picture about how God seeks out the lost, whoever they are, wherever they are. God loves the lost, whoever they may be, whether tax collectors and sinners outside the religious institution or Pharisees and scribes within the religious institution. Jesus tells this set of stories to remind his crowd that's gathered, to remind the people he's speaking to, but frankly, I think I can use the reminder as well, that being lost is not the end of that story. A lost sheep can be found. A lost coin can be discovered. A lost daughter can be found. Even lost people can be redeemed by God. In today's second lesson from 1 Timothy, St. Paul talks, in fact, about how Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, and this is how Paul writes it, of whom I am the foremost. Now, if you know anything about Paul, Paul is believed to have written many of those writings in the New Testament, not all of the New Testament, but many of those writings in the New Testament. He was one of the foremost missionaries in the early church, in those early days of telling the story of Jesus. This Paul said, I am one of the foremost sinners, and God was able to find me and use me. Paul had value to God because he had been lost. And to a certain extent, then, I'm nervous about using these categories of lost and found to think about whether you're a lost person or whether you're ministering to lost people, whether you're a found person or a lost person. Because really, I think that can lead us down a false understanding of this. Even lost people are never lost to God. And even those of us who work within the religious institution, maybe you think of me as being not a lost person because I work in the bishop's office and I work for the synod and I work as part of the ELCA. And as of today, my husband and I were ordained on this actual day. As of today, we've been ordained 29 years. So 29 years, in fact. Maybe you see me as a big part of the religious institution and you don't see me as a lost person, but there are definitely ways in which all of us have been lost at times, in which God had to seek out our heart wherever we were. Sometimes people who seem to have it all together are the most lost. So even those categories of lost and found are a little misleading as we talk about God loving lost things and lost people. But reading on, as I was reading, I was having a hard time not smiling the whole time I was reading about how God rejoices when we open our hearts to God, and how God throws a party, the angels in heaven throw a party when a lost one is found. When these things happen, there is much rejoicing. That's where I think the real crux of this text lies. The joy that Jesus mentioned isn't just a little asterisk with a little smiley face at the end of a sentence. This is like a great joyful party celebrating how many people can be opened up and invited into relationship with God. I tell you, Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And again, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy in heaven over lost people being found in God. Joy about people's hearts being changed. Joy that is deep, not just surface level. Joy that pervades. God is so crazy in love with each one of us. God loves us so very deeply that God will do anything to find us, to follow us, to embrace us, and to welcome us. In fact, that is one of the places that I have to lean on especially as a Lutheran pastor, knowing that God is the one that does the finding, God is the one that does the embracing. I try my best to stay out of the way, to be quiet when I need to listen, all of those places. But ultimately, it's the being ready and open for God to find me, for God who loves me so much, who loves you so much, to find you. When all of us admit that we need God, then there's this party in heaven, the angels, God, everybody else has a party like you would never believe. The next time you feel like you might be lost, or you feel like you are distant, or you feel like you are in a place where you're not sure where God is, I pray that you will remember that God is also seeking to find you, that wherever it is that you are, wherever it is that you find yourself, that God is seeking you out as well. You belong to God, and until God can bring you back, God will sweep the floors. God will scour the meadow. God will do whatever it takes to find you, because you matter to God. Amen.